coming up?
This is fabulous, darlings.
So you're the best dressed gardener in London then?
Oh, darling, I am.
You're our personal punch and roller, aren't you, basically?
No, I'm calling false on that.
The jewel in the crown wasn't what I thought it would be.
The jewel in the crown is, oh, really? Is that the jewel in the crown?
It opened up a whole range of possibilities, didn't it?
I'm going to make this unisex.
You've had a day of it today.
Slap on the wrist for us.
We know what it is. It's this amazing thing that we've done.
How do you say that?
Just relish the pauses.
It'll be fantastic.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. This is Mark Rice, my co-host.
Hello, and that's sound off in my co-host.
Hi. So every week we ask ourselves and a special guest the question, how do you say that? And we answer it with a very simple idea. Reading some scripts out loud.
Yeah, pretty simple, in fact. There isn't just one way to read a script, of course. There are lots of different ways. So, Sam, before we begin, a bit of true or false for you. When I go to the supermarket and I get a meal deal, choice of a sandwich, a drink and a snack, you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
My snack of choice is always a double orange twirl. Oh. True or false?
I feel like an orange twirl, a double orange twirl. I think is true. I think it's true. I think you go for a double orange twirl.
I don't, you know, because I watch my weight so much. I tend to go for the double boiled eggs, hard boiled eggs, because it's full of protein.
Oh, that's very, very impressive, I have to say. Wow. Okay, then. So my middle name is Rosebud because my dad's favourite film was Citizen Kane. Is that true or false?
Oh, much as... much as I would love that to be true, I don't think it is. No, I'm calling false on that.
Damn it. Yes, you're right. It is false. Although it's Rosalind.
Fair enough.
Because my dad loved Shakespeare and it's his favourite Shakespearean character.
Nice,
which actually
I probably have
done as a fun fact before.
I think you might have done.
I thought Rosebud was close enough for you to be confused.
Well, of course, we also have our very special guest, voice actor Nano Nagel. Hello, Nano.
Hello.
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 So, thank you for joining us. Sam, let's find out a little bit more about Nano for the people that don't know, shall we?
Yes, absolutely. So, after a long career in theatre, so that's fringe theatre to West End with lots of touring in it, Nano happened to do a workshop at the Actors' Centre and was convinced that audiobooks were a good option for her. So for the last decade, she's become a voiceover and narrator, and she says it's been a great journey so far.
Oh, well, no doubt we will find out more as the show goes on. Welcome to the podcast, Nano. Have you got a fun fact for us?
Oh, I'm so pleased to be here. Well, I nearly did a Shakespeare fact because you were talking about your parents naming you. Ooh. I named my children Edmund and Benedict because I love Shakespeare.
I didn't know that.
But my fun fact about me is I love clothes. But I can't throw any of them away.
Oh.
I never throw anything away. And so, obviously, over the years, I've got lots of things with holes in them, moth holes or things like that.
Right.
So I use them for gardening. Oh. So sometimes I'm in silk sort of pyjama-y things and really weird things.
So you're the best dressed gardener in London then?
Oh, darling, I am. I even, if I've got moth holes in things, I put beautiful buttons on them because I've got so many buttons.
Oh my God, you're talking my language here. I can't throw anything away. And consequently, my lounging about, my scruffy clothes are just kind of very old, vintage nonsense, yes.
But it's fabric, it's beauty.
It is fabric, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, at the height of haute couture green fingers, let's take a look at the first script of our show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
So, Sam, what script joy have you brought us this week?
I thought you an awards ceremony corporate.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. So is it the kind of thing that they play to the audience before the awards begin? So telling people about how brilliant the company's been?
Well, actually, do you know, I don't know whether it was a beforehand. I did a few for this company, so I imagine they were all a within. So maybe it was a day of awards. I have no idea. But it was, this was one of their films, one of their videos.
And might the voice of God have gone, and the winner of the IPC stand is...
I don't think so.
I don't think that's how you did the video, put it that way.
No. And I don't think it was in that part of the awards thing. I think it was just, you know, as part of that kind of, I don't know, evening, day? No idea, really. I didn't ask any specifics.
Any questions about this one, Nano?
Well, yes. I think it's really unusual, but it's obviously medical. Am I right?
It's a medical conference.
We're talking about a stand, right? So everybody's got their little thing where they're selling their details or whatever. Mm-hmm. What do you think the stand was? Is it weird, the stand, or is it all jewels?
Just because it's a jewel in the crowd. Yeah. I don't think it was jewels, Nano. I'm not going down that route.
No, I just think it was, I just think they obviously played their cards right. And presumably the stand is prior to this because it obviously...
Yes, this is winning an award for a stand or talking about the stand. Yeah, indeed.
So they've had their conference.
Yeah, and this is later on. Mm-hmm.
Did they give you any idea about whether you're a narrator or a character or what direction did they give you?
No, actually, they didn't give me any direction. I just took a punt on it.
Okay.
I mean, it was a directed session, so I was able to do... It was sort of professionally friendly. That was what we needed
at that point. Okay, professionally friendly. Mm. We can work
professionally
with that.
Professionally friendly.
So not sort of salesy, you know, this is fabulous, darlings. This is well done you.
Yes, more well done you, I think. Mm-hmm.
So a bit of pride in there as well, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
okay, all right. Well, I'll give it a go first, and then, Nano, let's see what you think.
Oh, and one other thing that might be useful, because you always accuse me of not giving you enough information.
Oh, indeed, go for it.
This is very much towards the end.
So more pride. Okay.
It's not actually the end, but it's very, very near the end.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
The jewel in the crown was the IPC 2025 stand itself, and the effect was undeniable. A 32% increase in sales versus IPC 2024. A parallel increase in Cigna sales. Over 29 million online impressions across the IPC period. We helped the medical community to see how Ingenia can help them achieve their ambitions. A revolutionary way to maximise outcomes for their patients and expert approaches, powered by cutting-edge technology.
Hmm.
Whoa.
I thought that was really, really efficient. You know, I mean, you're talking to people who are medical people, and so I thought that you gave them the information. But I thought that you could have put a little bit of sparkle in it, because... Okay. That was the crown IPC, their stand, IPC 25. They were the best. And I actually think that 32% increase was big deal because that was a lot in 1 year. And I think you could have, not to be too bubbly, but to say, well done, that's amazing, you know.
A little bit more awe.
A bit more pride and awe.
That's
okay.
A good word.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. That does make more sense. Yeah.
Yes. I think you lent into the professional. Perhaps it was a little bit too much in that. But but what I love about your reads are, you know, you absolutely get that job done. If
commit.
You were in,
totally.
Well, yeah, and
totally
if you
agree.
Were if this was being played out to a big group, a big, you know, room full of people.
That is what I was imagining, to be fair.
And I think it is. I think that would have had enormous cut through.
Good. That's kind of where I was going with it. Yeah. But I agree. More sparkle, though, Nano. Yeah, absolutely.
Just
I take that
twinkle,
on board.
But you've got them. They're all looking at you. I can see they are, you know.
Well, as I say so often on this show, this is a one-take show in terms of that's our first take and we would go back and do a second or a third and it would become the sparkly wonder that we expect.
Absolutely. And I mean, when do we ever do when do we ever do the first take?
Very.
Nobody ever takes the first take.
No, nobody ever takes the first take in real life, indeed.
No. So.
Sometimes they do.
I'm interested to see. Do they now?
Okay, it's just us then.
Well, it's audiobooks, so totally different.
Fair. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, here we go, and you're all sitting there.
I want to see your sparkle, Nano.
Okay. The jewel in the crown was the IPC 2025 stand itself, and the effect was undeniable. A 32% increase in sales versus IPC 2024. A parallel increase in Cigna sales. Over 29 million online impressions across the IPC period. Oh, we helped the medical community to see how Ingenia can help them achieve their ambitions. A revolutionary way to maximize outcomes for their patients, and expert approaches powered by cutting-edge technology.
I think you got that final line where I didn't there. I see what you mean about sparkle. I wondered if maybe...
Too much?
I think maybe you went too much the other way.
That is perhaps a big problem with me because, yeah, that's why I'm not serious. I could do... I see what you mean, and I'll just do the first bit like you, just with your... That's a really good critique there. So it's more the jewel in the crown was the IPC 2025 stand itself.
Yeah, I think it's, yes, in many ways we need to turn it down rather than up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I absolutely agree about warmth and sparkle, but it's actually trying to just make that a little more, I don't know, relatable?
Serious?
Okay, yep.
Yeah.
Well, not even so much serious, but it's a less performative idea,
yep.
I think, yep. that they went for, certainly.
Yeah.
Did you notice, Nano, how we both fell into the rookie error of not asking a question before we began, because we both said Ingenia differently,
yes.
Which means that neither you or I know how to actually say it, and we should have asked the question.
That's exactly right. And what you always do when you have a job, you say, please tell me these names.
Yes,
yeah,
of course you do.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we didn't, so that's a slap on the wrist for us.
What about Cigna? We both got
yes,
Cigna.
Yes, we should have asked that too.
Yeah.
Yes, because it might have been SIGNA sales, mightn't it?
Exactly the thought I had.
Good point.
And that's.
No.
Usually I do that. You usually do that, right?
I do, of course. Normally. Normally, of course. Yeah. Exactly. We forgot this time.
Yeah.
Sam, were we anywhere close to those pronunciations?
Yes. Cigna is Cigna and Ingenia is Ingenia.
I'm interested to see the professional but pulled back from you, Sam.
Yeah,
I'm interested
too.
To see what you're going to do with this now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Come on.
Okay. The jewel in the crown was the IPC 2025 stand itself, and the effect was undeniable. A 32% increase in sales versus IPC 2024. A parallel increase in Cigna sales. Over 29 million online impressions across the IPC period. We helped the medical community to see how Ingenia can help them achieve their ambitions. A revolutionary way to maximize outcomes for their patients and expert approaches powered by cutting-edge technology.
Yeah, that's perfect.
It was more downbeat than I was expecting, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So I see exactly what you're saying. Less of turn the sparkle down, but that brings the professional up in a way.
Mm. There's a warmth to it, I suppose,
is
what you're trying to... There's a sort of smile and a sort of, we know what it is. It's this amazing thing that we've done. And,
but we don't jump around and be silly about things. because they're a medical community.
That's true.
I guess, yeah.
Yes.
I loved the difference about that. I thought it was really good that I was completely over the top and Mark was in the middle going, you know, this is really important. And you were just like, look, come on, let's get real here. We're going to get
this
real.
This is cool, isn't it, guys?
Oh, I love that, yeah. This is cool. Get real here. Yeah, absolutely. All of that.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting, interesting. Well, it is worthwhile remembering that these are real scripts we're working on, but we've changed names and some details to avoid copyright issues. And while we're on the subject of scripts, you can find both the ones we're using today in the show notes of this episode.
Yes, you can. So, Nano... What, I'm intrigued by this script.
Yeah.
What is this all about?
I'm kind of hoping it's an audio book because Nano is into audio.
Yes. Well, I thought it was interesting because obviously you both do very different types of voiceovers and I
do
a majority of audio books. So long form narration. I obviously do other types, but not so much. This is, in a way, a short ditty. It comes from a long story, and I'm not going to tell you about the story until we've done it, because it is interesting. It's the blurb on the back of the novel.
Ooh.
And that's what's really interesting, because it is meant to tempt you in a way, but in that strange way that books do, and you think, what is that about?
Yes.
And do you ever have to narrate those blurby bits?
Sometimes you do. It depends on the production company. But I don't know if you've noticed now that at the back of an audiobook, they often have interviews with the author.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yes.
And ones that don't often have little tiny snippets at the beginning to give you a taster.
I have to say, having read this through a couple of times before we started recording, that completely changes the nature of potentially where this goes for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, but remember, it is from the book.
And just on the subject of audiobooks, Nano, do you use punch and roll? Is that your preferred method of recording for audiobooks? So you record and then when you go wrong, you then punch and roll to drop in where you went wrong?
Now, look, if I have a day like today, which after three sentences I've said something wrong, or I go, did I say that wrong? And then a punch and roll is just magic, because instead of having to go click, click, or something and think, yeah, oh, I've had to edit that out, all you do is go back to where you thought the mistake was, and you hear, you roll back, and you hear what you should to the run-up of that sentence. And in sometimes you only have to add in a word because you know how you sounded. You know, you've got real recall when you heard your voice and you know what you wanted to say. And actually, that's just a dream for me.
I think it's a phenomenal tool, punch and roll, to be honest.
Do you
it's really
use
good.
Punch and roll, though, Mark?
I don't use it, but I have done sessions where I have had it used by the engineer, and I love it because you can pick up exactly on the on the expression or on the tone that you were using in the sentence run-up.
Totally. That's the thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Particularly if you speak along with it.
Yes,
as
and
you're
I do
listening
sometimes.
To you.
Yes. Yeah.
My studio is perpetually set up with punch and roll.
Is it? Mm. Is it?
It's always on punch and roll.
Yeah, well, I feel like mine is too today.
Yeah.
Right, Sam, are you going to take this one first?
Yes, I am. Now, I hear that it's part of a book. I am going to perhaps slightly over-egg how I would do it in the book because it's the bit of blurb on the back.
Yes, yes, I get that.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going to do. Now, whether that's right or wrong, I have no idea. So... Until now, I have shared the specifics of that first meeting between us with no one. If I let them, people would pore over every detail, handle each scrap, shop soiling with their touch. Strangers can be inclined to pry. Once the link is made, they swamp me with questions. Usually I say, she was Arthur's wife a decade before he married me, that they lived in Yorkshire, and I was never there. It suggests I didn't know her.
See, I loved that, and that would absolutely make me want to listen to
the book.
That book.
Yeah.
There was a certain inviting mystery to that. I thought the tone was lovely. Speed-wise, Nano, I imagine in the book, maybe slightly slower, but in the blurb, exactly the right speed.
I know, it's very interesting, isn't it? I mean, you can keep to being the slowness of what an audiobook usually is. Some are quick, actually, but you can play around with things. You can have long pauses, and I think that's you've got to make people go, ooh, what happened there?
Mm. Yeah.
And the thing is, the quality of your voice was good for that, oh, this is a mystery.
Is it a mystery?
I'm not going to tell you.
we'll now discover that it's not a mystery at all.
The paragraph certainly suggests
there is a mystery. Isn't it? Yeah, so we know there's something that we don't know.
The other thing that is really important about that, and I had to just simply make a choice, was we actually don't know. This is a first person piece. Now, if that first person that is in the novel is, I don't know, well, for a start, if she's a different nationality or something from me, that's one thing. but also, yeah, if she's a really quickly spoken, nervous person, then that would only necessarily come out if I knew the book.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then it would be an entirely different persona.
Exactly.
You know, it would have, oh, well, until now, you know, it would be far, far... different. So I just had to make a choice.
But that's the importance of being an actor as well, because sometimes that happens, but it doesn't necessarily make it wrong, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm wondering, you know, looking at audiobooks, if this is monologue, if this is internal monologue, or whether this is something that is spoken out loud. And again, it could be either of those things, couldn't it?
It could be. And a book, you can say that some books are an internal monologue.
Yes, because you're right. If this was amusing, an amusing, you know, musing just inside, that's, again, a very different quality. to the way I did it. Well, I'll be interested to see what you do.
I'll be interested to
Mark,
see the
now you've got all of the possibilities.
Yes, it hasn't really narrowed it down for me at all, has it?
No, right.
Because it's an American elf.
That's why I chose it, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, well, I think you've chosen a cracking piece because of it. And we're both going to go, oh, right.
I think you've got a lot of clues. You're both intelligent. Yeah, I can see it, yeah.
All right. Until now, I've shared the specifics of that first meeting between us with no one. If I let them, people would pore over every detail, handle each scrap, shop-soiling with their touch. Strangers can be inclined to pry. Once that link is made, they swamp me with questions. Usually, I say she was Arthur's wife a decade before he married me, that they lived in Yorkshire, and I was never there. It suggests I didn't know her.
Ooh. Murder mystery.
Yeah, that was the vibe I was going for.
Yeah, I like that.
Sean Bean, and there we were.
Little bad Sean Bean there.
Inspired by Yorkshire.
Yeah, I like the Yorkshire.
I like that.
They lived in Yorkshire and you'd never been there.
Well, that's why. That's kind of what I put it in my brain.
It was cool, though. I liked it that you had that. Yeah, the country thing.
I tried to slow it. I'm always trying to slow it down.
It sounded great when you slowed it down, because that is really good for audiobooks.
There was a real delicacy about your delivery of that as well, which I really enjoyed.
I think the one thing that I've learnt from the audiobook narrators that we've had on the show over the last 2 years is just relish the pauses.
Yeah.
The pauses are as important as the words on the page.
And you really took a character on, Mark. That was great.
Yes.
I tried.
Yeah. I mean, you presented it really well, and there wasn't a thought in there that we didn't get.
That's high praise indeed from you, Nano. But tell us, what don't we know about this?
Well, it's so interesting. Can I tell you it's so interesting?
Yeah, please do.
Because it's an Irish book. It's called Charlotte, and it's written about Charlotte Bronte. And it's so fascinating, actually, because Charlotte Bronte, she got married and became pregnant, and she had terrible morning sickness, and she actually died. And she died in Ireland.
Wow.
And it was really sad, but she knew these people, and it was like, you know, their sort of secret place, if you know what I mean. And he fell in love with the girl that looked after Charlotte.
So is this fictional?
It's historical fiction.
And that's a massive genre at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, and it's a fantastic thing to do, because, of course, you can't know what people felt or did or why they married each other or anything. But with the knowledge of your modern day, you can expose it in a fictional way.
So this isn't Charlotte Bronte talking. This is the woman who was the second wife.
Yes. So that's what's interesting about it.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Even though it's called Charlotte the book.
I want to hear how you did it.
Okay. Until now, I've shared the specifics of that first meeting between us with no one. If I let them, people would pore over every detail, handle each scrap, shop-soiling with their touch. Strangers can be inclined to pry. Once the link is made, they swamp me with questions. Usually I say, she was Arthur's wife a decade before he married me, that they lived in Yorkshire and I was never there. It suggests I didn't know her.
But of course I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
that was both very conversational.
Yep.
And also, what I loved, the youthfulness of her.
Absolutely.
She felt like a young woman.
Yes.
You know, a sort of slightly naive, maybe, although I don't know, you know, that was
she
just...
she was naive, wasn't she? But she knew that was too much import for her.
Wow.
And Nano, such a light touch on that Irish accent. Obvious that it was Irish, but a really light touch on it.
I think that's interesting you say that. Now, I always make that choice to have a light touch on an accent.
Sure.
But what do you think as a listener of an audiobook?
I didn't want it to go that much, but it made it flow very easily for me, listening.
Yes. I generally prefer a light touch.
Yeah.
On the occasions where I have actually listened to a book where people are fully embodied, 360 characters throughout, I've been incredibly impressed, and they've generally been very fine, you know. But it doesn't happen very often. I prefer a lighter touch. It doesn't take me out of the story as much.
Play How Do You Say That?
Nano, it's the wildcard section. Could you pick one of the scripts for Sam or for me and give us a new direction, new character, new motivation, new something to do it with?
I'm going to choose the second script because I'm quite fascinated by it anyway. And I want you, Sam, to do it as someone, a vampire, who's salivating over the person that you're talking to because you want to get their neck.
Okay, I'm salivating at the thought of the blood. Now, usually that comes with seduction, but I did a sort of... so I'll do something different.
Okay.
Think
that the person is the most important, the person that you're trying to get.
Yes, okay.
Until now, I have shared the specifics of that first meeting between us with no one. If I let them, people would pore over every detail, handle each scrap, shop soiling with their touch. Strangers can be inclined to pry. Once the link is made, they swamp me with questions. Usually, I say she was Arthur's wife. A decade before he married me, that they lived in Yorkshire, I was never there. It suggests... Yes, I didn't know.
Oh, I'm so glad you did that.
The hunger was there, wasn't it, Nano? The hunger, the
salivation.
The longing... waiting to exsanguinate.
That's a great... beautiful. Say that again. Oh, my
waiting
God.
Waiting to exsanguinate.
I was thinking that you could both do it together. You could sort of go... When she says chop-soiled with their touch, you could go, yes. Strangers can be inclined to pry.
Or you could do a conversation with them.
Yes.
Or two vampires circling their prey. Or, yes, that would be very interesting.
Heavens above. Right, Nano, I've got one for you.
Okay.
If I might.
Oh, my God.
I am also going to ask you to do script two, but I want you to forget everything that you've told us about it.
Yes, okay.
And use it as a piece of prose on the page. I would like you to imagine that you are a fully inflated balloon that is being blown in the wind. Now, you're a talking balloon, obviously. But as the wind catches you, it gives you a whole range of different emotions.
Oh, that's nice. Until now, I've shared the specifics of that first meeting between us with no one. If I let them... people would pore over every detail, handle each scrap, shop-soiling with their touch. Strangers can be inclined to pry. Once the link is made, they swamp me with questions. Usually I say she was Arthur's wife. A decade before he married me, that they lived in Yorkshire and I was never there. It suggests I didn't know her.
I saw you blowing around.
I love that. Do you do much animation?
Well, I do lots of things about cloud gazing and things like that, you know, looking at the stars at night and stuff. Yeah.
It felt like such an animated character.
Yes, it did.
A real, you know, I could see little balloon and it was gorgeous. I mean, gorgeous, you know, in that I saw it bouncing at times and rising up.
There was once a gust that took it far further than it was expecting. Yeah, all of that came through, I thought.
That was so gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I'm going to use it. It was great. It's great doing this, like a workshop. It's fabulous. Yeah.
Now, I have to wonder and fear what Sam's brain comes up with. Ooh.
Well, we know that it's going to be script one, so because we've done script two twice now, so we know it's going to be script one. But that's okay. I want you to be, Mark, a pilot with a problem.
Oh.
You're flying the plane. Your problem could be anything. You could have just... But I want the problem mid. I want you to find a pivot point.
Yeah, yeah. 32,000 feet. Talking to ground control. The jewel in the crown was the IPC 2025 standard self, and the effect was undeniable. A 32% increase in sales versus IPC 2024. A parallel increase in Cigna sales. Over 29 million online impressions across the IPC period. We helped the medical community to see how Ingenia come in. Ingenia can help them achieve their ambitions. A revolutionary way to maximize outcomes for their patients and expert approaches. Expert approaches powered by cutting edge technology.
Nicely saved that pilot.
I like
back
that
on
pilot.
That was so cool. I really liked that. I liked the fact that you made the decision to talk to, you know, air control or ground control, Major Tom.
Yeah, it was technologically good too, because you actually could see that you were in the cockpit looking at things, thinking, am I going to get freaked out? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. That's good.
And of course, you know, you were a calm pilot.
Yeah.
Pilots are calm.
Yeah, they have to be. Absolutely.
You were lovely and measured at the beginning. You had that lovely lilt as well to your voice that was, and here we're coming into land now. It's blah, blah, blah. I can see that. Oh, fuck. What's happened?
Well, as always, we've put the scripts in the show notes so you can have a try yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, sort of about 258 scripts to choose from.
Whoa. Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes.
Something like that. Anyway.
That's cool.
However, Nanette, you've got a theatre background, which can feel too big sometimes for audio work. So how have you adapted your theatrical style, if you like, or your style in the theatre to work well on mic?
I'm fascinated by this because I'm always accused of being too big. So well, I will take anything you've got, Nano.
Darling, you can see that I get so big when I did that one, you know, like that's going full power. And I can't help it because of the theatre thing, which we understand. But it lives with you because that's how you create characters. But somebody said to me, remember you're talking into somebody's ear. And that's basically what you are doing for audiobooks. And all that screaming and shouting or even bigness, just they don't want to listen to you do that. But even you think, my God, the character's full of emotion. So I got this little feeling of visualizing a tiny group of Lilliput people. You know, they're working out on the stage and they're doing these things. And it's almost as if you're... being small, you're looking down from an aeroplane and that's the life down there. And they are those people. And actually, as time has grown on, I have begun to realise how I contain that voice. And I can have big voices, but they're in somebody's ear and it's a small playgroup. The microphone is important because it shouldn't be a barrier. It should be, you know, like your take to the audience, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's a conduit, and it is important to be able to use it. And it does take a long time to actually realize that all that life that you've got in your mind and your voice goes into that tiny, tiny space.
Absolutely.
How long do you think it took you to make that click in your brain that you understood that?
It took me a book, actually. I did a couple of books and they were too big.
Great analogy.
It took me a book because I kept saying to myself, tell the story, tell the story. Mm. You know, forget about being the people pleaser and the big character. Mm. Tell the story. And you know, after a while, you've got to keep reminding yourself. I still have to sometimes.
Oh, Nano, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's all fascinating stuff. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I've really loved it, where I thought, ooh, I'm going to be freaked out and scared about it. But it was really good.
I'll let you into a little secret. So you were just as brilliant as we knew you were going to be.
Oh, you're so cute. Absolutely. Darling, darling.
Well, a reminder that all of Nano Nagel's details can be found in the show notes.
Yes, and of course, the scripts are there too. So do hit the follow button on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave a review on Apple Podcasts.
Okay, well, that's it for this week. Thanks again to Nano Nagel. And we will be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking, and this is where we do the title of the show altogether, Nano. You know how this goes. We'll be asking,
How do you say that?
How do you say that?
How do you say that?